Our gospel reading is a famous gospel reading, one that you know we've heard many times. Many times this is done at funerals. But it's very, very appropriate that this is the text for today, and this is our celebration of Mothers. Jesus is speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you also may be. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." The Gospel of the Lord. We have said many times, and it certainly is true, that Jesus, in his life, came to give us an idea of who God is. And his purpose was not to change God's point of view, but to help us change our point of view, that we might understand more fully what our lives are all about and what God's purpose in being a part of our lives is all about. And this morning, I think we have one of the most telling experiences of the gospel. And it lands on this day, I don't think, by accident. Because in celebrating Mothers, Jesus is saying something very special and definitively motherly to his disciples. We always think of Jesus as being the He-Man, the guy who did the superpower stuff and touched people's lives and he turned upside down. And people got healed and cured, and everything went wonderfully as long as he was around. And that's why the loss and his death and crucifixion was so tragic for so many. But he taught us many other things about God. And we've explored some of those in the last few years together. But this one this morning, I think, is one of the more powerful experiences that Jesus teaches us. He's telling us about God. What he is saying to his disciples, the people who have been closest to him, maybe knowing what's coming and maybe not, but he looks at them and he says to them, "You know, I'm not going to be here forever. One of the things I want you to know is that you are cared for. You will always be cared for. And however far away I may seem, I am not. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's not something a male figure would say. At least not in his day. And maybe not in a lot of parts of our world today. Men don't talk like that. But this is God. And I want to suggest that God is saying something very motherly, because this really is the beginning of a whole new creation, a new possibility for these people. They're losing their leader. They're going to be on their own. They're going to be cut off from everything that gave them security. And yet, they have to continue somehow. And so Jesus looks them in the eye and says these words. Now, I want to jump. It has been said that the first thing a newborn child focuses on after being born, the first focal point in the child's experience, is the distance between the nursing breast and the face of the mother. The first focal point are the eyes of his mother or her mother. And what is in those eyes? What touches a child that affects him or her the rest of their lives? Even though they're not conscious, even though they don't have the intellectual acumen to kind of understand it, what transpires in that very simple gaze? Before all the craziness of life continues, before everything gets all messed up with schedules and diapers and bottles and jobs and people and family and all that stuff, what is the first message that a child gets? Very simply, it's unconditional acceptance, unconditional love, a courage that says, no matter what, I'm going to be here. A promise that however you develop and whoever you become, you will always be cherished. And you are never, ever going to be alone. And as far apart as we may be, I am going to be there. Somehow, because of that experience, we spend all of our lives, brothers and sisters, trying to recapture that gaze and that experience with other people in our lives. In our pursuit for love, in our quest to somehow be accepted, in the important challenge of becoming our best selves and finding that we are acceptable, and our desire somehow to be recognized as important in all the things that drive us from minute to minute in our lives, all the things that immerse us in the schedules that we live so hectically. There's a search for that gaze, for that experience one more time. It's written off sometimes as, wouldn't it be nice to be known as I really am? Wouldn't it be a wonderful experience to have nothing but freedom to experience and to express, to be open to possibilities, to see what yet is there for me to discover and know that somebody is there with me? The loneliness we experience in our lives falls away to meaninglessness in that moment. But it is because of that moment, our first focus, that loneliness can be so crippling, can be so demoralizing. And it would seem to me that any child born, in fact, every child born, that somehow is able to focus on his or her mother. All of this is reality. And what Jesus here is saying is, I am the way, and the mother says, when you look at me, I am the way. I am the way to the future. I am the way of all the potential that you will ever discover in yourself. I am the way that you will explore this world with security and with courage and find whatever it is you seek and never, ever be alone. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And every mother in that gaze convicts her child of the very simple truth of his or her own goodness, that you are a unique person, and you are expected to be a unique person. In spite of all the things that are going to come that are going to change that, your uniqueness matters, because there's nobody else like you. There never will be anybody like you. And I celebrate that. I embrace that for you. And I trust that you will hold on to that however long you live. And I am the life. In that gaze, I believe that we are convinced early on in our lives that life is really a gift. And we know from the very beginning that life is sacred because there's something very divine in that gaze. There's something that assures us in that moment that we are part of the divine. And that we have the capability of being life givers as life has been given to us. We have the ability and the vocation to be life givers to one another, not only to those we love, but in Jesus' mind and in God's vision, to everyone in the world. I told you a little narrative once before about a child that was born into a family where there was a three-year-old. And the older daughter loved her little brother. But like all parents, when a newborn comes home, the parents are very, very concerned about the older child feeling jealous, perhaps feeling resentment, and maybe even harming the child, the baby, making it difficult for this little kid to grow up. And so they were always closely monitoring their children. The baby was in his crib. The monitor was on. The parents were in the living room listening to the monitor while they were doing their ordinary things. And suddenly they heard a voice over the monitor. And the little girl leaning over the crib and saying to her brother, "Tell me about God, because I forget what he looks like." I believe, and I've believed this most of my life, that when a child is born, he is just, or she has just been released from the hands of God. And the more we hear about scientific knowledge and the wonders of what takes place in brain development in the womb, the more I am convinced that if a child could speak in the very first hours of his or her birth, we would learn a lot about God. That's why I think this gospel reading is so important, not for a funeral, but for Mother's Day. Because Jesus is saying, "I am not going to leave you orphan. You're going to come with me. And even though we are separated, I will come and bring you home. And everything you need is right here. You do know the way. You do know the life, and you do know the truth. Strive every day to live what you know to be your way and your truth and your life. Because the more we do that, the more we are mothering our brothers and sisters in the earth. And also, the more we are being truly ourselves, which is God's desire for all of us." May we have a moment of meditation. For those of you that aren't familiar with this, we just close our eyes and breathe. The breath we breathe is the breath of God. The air around us has been breathed by Jesus and Buddha and Gandhi and all the saints and wonderful people before us. The air we breathe today, our mothers and fathers breathe. We breathe in that we are loved. We breathe out that we are loved. Place yourself in the arms of someone you love. Of someone who loves you as you are. Set aside all the judgments, events, the disruptions, the questions, and be present to the one you love. And to the one who loves you. Find yourselves maybe as a child, being held in the lover's arms. Feel the embrace. Feel the warmth. Enjoy the stillness. Look into the eyes of the one you love. And see yourself in those eyes. Those are eyes who don't judge. Those are the eyes of love that don't make demands. Those are the eyes that celebrate you as you are. Look into the eyes of the one you love and see yourself from their perspective. The eyes of the one who loves you are the same eyes that God uses to see you. They are the same eyes through which we see ourselves. Gaze into those eyes and hear God's words. You are loved as you are. You will always be cherished as you are. You are the unique gift in the world. You are the one I trust. You are the one that knows the way. You are the one who has the truth. You are the one who gives life. Look into the eyes of the one who loves you. And know that you will never, ever be left alone. That you are a treasure. That you are a gift. That you are the one who can mother the world you touch. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in the breath of God. Breathe out the breath, God. Breathe in the words, I love you. Breathe out the words, I love you. Pray with me. Creative Spirit, Holy One, we sit in your presence, enveloped in your arms, to give you thanks and praise, but to open ourselves in new ways to the possibilities that yet lie ahead of us. Because we trust, indeed, that we are never alone, and that the possibilities of life that are ahead are filled with some of the delights, some of the challenges, and some of the experiences that will lead us to our better selves. And so we ask this day that you would bless our world with your breath. The breath of new life, the breath of healing, the breath of forgiveness, most of all, the breath of love. And from this place, we join our hands with one another and with all our brothers and sisters on the earth. And this day, we call you God. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever.